Now, last time, friends, we were talking about this matter of sanctification. We saw that the last part of the fifth chapter is probably the most difficult section in the Word of God. It deals with the imputation of sin. We discovered there that there's another head of the human family, and that's Christ. And He brings life, and He brings righteousness. He removes the guilt of sin, and on that basis now, He can move into the lives of those who trust in Him and begin to make them righteous. That is, He can begin to make them good. Now, we have here in this chapter what I've labeled positional sanctification. That sounds very theological, I recognize. But that means identification with Christ is the basis of sanctification. Then we shall have practical sanctification, and that'll be in verses 14 through 23. Last time we saw potential sanctification. Then after we get through practical sanctification, we're going to be looking at that which is powerless sanctification in Romans 7. And then finally, we'll be talking about powerful sanctification. That's in Romans 8, of course, and that is by the power of the Spirit of God. Now let me say just a word about this matter of sanctification. There's something here that we need to see, that there is a difference between justification and sanctification. And these are two words, friends, that you ought to cozy up to and get acquainted with them. They are Bible words, by the way. And there is a difference between salvation itself and this matter of not only being saved from sin, but then of the matter of making us into saints. That is the type of folk that we should be, because we are separated unto God. Now, identification with Christ for justification is also the grounds of our sanctification. We're in Christ. These are two different subjects, but they're not mutually exclusive. Justification is the foundation on which all the superstructure of sanctification rests. Now, let me put it like this. Justification is an act. Sanctification is a work. Justification takes place the moment you trusted Christ, you're declared righteous. The guilt is removed. Then God begins to work in us. That's not just a moment's work, by the way. I believe in instantaneous salvation, but I believe in a moment-by-moment work all the time that we're in this life. In other words, we're going to see that justification is the means. Sanctification is the end. Justification is for us. Sanctification is in us. Justification declares the sinner righteous. Sanctification makes the sinner righteous. Justification removes the guilt and penalty of sin. And sanctification removes the growth and the power of sin. You see, God is an exterior decorator. He enables us to stand before Him because He's paid the penalty and removes the guilt of sin. But He's an interior decorator also, and He moves into our hearts and in our lives by the power of the Spirit to make us the kind of Christians we should see. God does not leave us in sin when He saves us. Now, this does not imply that sanctification is a duty that is derived from justification. It's a fact that proceeds from it, or rather, both justification and sanctification flow from being in Christ, crucified and risen. The sinner appropriates Christ by faith for both his salvation and his sanctification. We're told in 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification and redemption." In other words, up to chapter 6, Paul does not discuss the holy life of the saint. From chapter 6 on, Paul does not discuss the salvation of the sinner. He wasn't talking about the saint and the life he's to live when he was discussing salvation. Now he is discussing that. And therefore, the subject of this chapter is the ability of God to make sinners whom he has declared righteous actually righteous. That is, to be holy in all manner of their lives. He shows that the justified sinner cannot continue in sin because he died and rose again in Christ. To continue in sin leads to slavery, to sin, and is the additional reason for not continuing in sin. And it reveals the fact that he has a new nature and he's to obey God. This section delivers us from this idea, you can do as you please. Union in Christ in his death and resurrection means that he is now our Lord and Master, and he gives us freedom. But that freedom is not license, as we're going to see.